Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Thursday, driven with SunPass.
Driven with SunPass.
JP Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, and Tony Baselli bring you the latest Jaguars news and what's happening around the NFL. Jaguars Thursday is brought to you by Baptist Health and Everbank.
Touchdown, Jacksonville!
Jaguars Thursday, driven with SunPass, begins right now.
We're at the HananiahAutos.com studio at Everbank Field. Jaguars Thursday, driven with SunPass. JP Shadrick, Tony Baselli. Jeff Loggeman is out. Not sure where Jeffrey is. Probably killing animals somewhere. Tony Baselli's with us, though.
He's on that big trip he took, remember?
Which one? He's like always on a trip.
Where's he at, Joe?
He went to Costa Rica like 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago.
I like the idea of just him being out killing something.
That's more likely, yeah. What's going on, Bo? What you got? How are you?
Oh, man, busy week. Players, yeah. Big. We have our big event tomorrow night.
Yeah, the Cut Party benefiting the Baselli Foundation tomorrow night.
Yeah, great acts. We have Claire Dunn, Chris Lane, major country stars with top 30 hits. So tickets still available, too. Only $40. There's going to be tons of food trucks out there, tons of drinks. Great concert starts at 6 p.m., goes to 11 p.m. right there, right next to the Ponte Vedra Concert Hall in that big field. We have a huge stage. It's going to be awesome. $40 tickets, only $40. You can go to thecutparty.com and buy them, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
I'm looking at it right now. It's an easy website to maneuver through and everything.
Yeah, so just buy your tickets, and every dollar goes to help kids here in Jacksonville.
That's what you do, Bo.
That's what we do. We're givers.
That's exactly what you do. The Jaguars, we got a lot to get to tonight because they've added another pass rusher yesterday. And we'll go through earlier this week on Jaguars.com Live, we had Dwayne Walker, the Jaguars defensive backs coach, on. And we'll kind of filter through some of the names in the defensive backfield, too, and see if we can figure out some starters. We'll get that out of you.
Okay. I love naming starters in May.
I know. And then we'll go offensive line
stuff.
We always do. Since Gus confirmed that Brandon Leonard is getting most of the center reps.
Yeah,
I think we knew that, yeah. And we'll go around the National Football League as well.
You got some sun today.
Yeah, it was a good day.
You're out there playing a little golf.
A little golf day. Yeah.
Were you 9-under like Jason Day at the Players?
Yes. The fish was that big too, Tony. Yeah. It was huge.
Did you have any?
I haven't swung a club since before last football season.
And 18 holes, did you have any pars?
Yes.
Oh, good.
I had a couple.
That's good.
I had a chance for birdie a couple of times and missed.
Very good.
Yeah, so I played okay. I only had 110. One 10 on one of the holes, a 10.
You know what I usually –
and it was late. I was tired.
You know what I do if I start getting near number 10, the 10 number or 9 number?
You quit. You walk
away. I just pick up.
Yeah.
Pick up the ball and go to the next
hole.
Yeah,
Prisco wouldn't let me pick up. He likes to finish it out.
No, that's ridiculous.
That's okay. So, yeah, good day. Real good day out. Beautiful weekend, of course, coming up here in Jacksonville with the players out at TPC Sawgrass, too. We'll look forward to your party tomorrow night.
That'll be thanks.
Interesting. So check it out, thecutparty.com. Bjorn Werner, what do you think, Tony?
I think he was miscast completely in Indianapolis, kind of played that outside backer, stand-up guy. He's the guy who needs to have his hand in the ground. He's not overly athletic, but he's very productive in college. He's a very good college football player, has not had the same success. But I think it's a good addition. I think it brings more competition and another guy that's going to be pushing for time, maybe in a sub package. I'll be interested to see where they play him. Is he your prototypical Leo, real athletic? No, but he can play in space with his hand on the ground, and I think it's a nice addition to add some depth.
They've been adding a lot of guys at that defensive end spot, too.
Well, they need to. I mean, listen, I think it's too much to ask. We talked about it last week with Dante Fowler, and I think it's too much to ask to say, listen, we got that fixed. We got Dante Fowler. I think Dante Fowler is going to be a heck of a player, but this is basically his rookie year. He has not played football since his last game, the bowl game at Florida, which is going to be about 19 months after.
That's crazy.
20 months after.
Yeah.
Because of the missed year last year. And so it's just too much to ask. You have to add depth there. How many snaps do you want him to take anyways during a game? And so I think, listen, is Bjorn Werner going to come and give you a double-digit sacks? You know, he hasn't shown that in the NFL. off his college tape. Maybe that's where they drafted him in the first round, hoping he would be that guy. We'll see if this will be a restart to his career and re-energize him and him being able to play a more natural position, which is his hand in the ground.
Werner only played 3 years, right, in Indy?
Yeah.
And they whacked him. Yeah.
Well, he wasn't very productive. Yeah. And the defense they run that kind of hybrid 3-4 some 4-3 principles. And the position he plays is in the two-point stance. He has to drop quite a bit. And that's not what he does. That's not who he is. And so I like the pickup, and I think it was a nice job by Dave Caldwell and looking and evaluating him and seeing how he can fit here.
Have you watched the film on the late-round guys yet, or have you been too busy?
This is a bad week for me to watch any film.
Okay, well, fair enough.
I'll be honest with you. The players and the cut we have working on, I've probably done the littlest football I've done since last year this week. So it just watched any tape.
All right, so I won't ask you about Hughes or all those other guys.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't. No.
We won't go there. But Werner, interesting addition. They had to cut a cornerback to get that done on
Who'd
the roster.
They cut?
A guy who's a first-year player.
Perfect.
So he's out of here.
Yeah, great. So you don't even know his
Chance
name?
Chance Casey.
Okay, great. So I didn't know Chance was even spending time with us.
Well, he's not anymore. Let's put it that way. So, pass rush is going to be that's a big – how many pass rushers are there on the roster right now? That's a good question.
Of guys who've actually sacked the quarterback?
Right. Of guys who actually have experience sacking quarterbacks.
Not a lot.
Not many.
You got
a lot of question marks.
You got the big free agent signing from Denver, Malik.
Mm-hmm.
You got Cedric Marks. If he's back healthy, he knows how to rush the passer. You know, after that, I mean, you know, you got guys who, you know, are really good run players. Ryan Davis is a spot guy. You know, you expect Dante Fowler is going to be a guy who can rush the passer once we've talked about him. Mm-hmm. Jared Odrick is more of a run style player. I got a nice steak dinner out of Jeff Logan because of that.
Did he pay up?
No, he hasn't paid yet. He hasn't paid up. We're on the road 10 times.
Okay, he'll have plenty of opportunities.
He'll have plenty of times. And I think I'm going to bring Joe with me and make sure he buys Joe too.
Nice steak cities too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 11.
What? 11 times, yeah, but I don't think I'm going to choose my steakhouse in London. Probably wouldn't be my first choice, Joe.
That's a good idea.
So, but yeah, I think they've done a great job of adding guys in that front seven and guys who are more athletic and bringing speed and you hope can affect the quarterback. But I still think that's an area that we're going to have to see play out.
What do you think of the whole Dan Scuda playing a little more pass rush role?
I like it. I think he rushes better. If you watch him back when he played at San Francisco, I thought he was a good pass rusher. He rushes better from the left end, I think, against the right tackle. He has good power. He's not going to run around you, but he has good leverage and uses his hands well. And I think if he gets more reps, I think he can be an effective guy on third down from that left end position.
Yeah, because that was the talk that they would – play him a little more at Leo and see what happens with that.
Yeah,
I think you have Jack and you have some other options at the linebacker spot.
Absolutely. So, I mean, yeah. I think he is a guy that you want who can do a lot of good different things. He's a solid player. I thought he did a good job at Otto on first and second down. Yeah. He's really good against the run, great leverage player, really good strength of holding the edge and setting the edge and pushing everything back inside. But I'd like to see him get more reps rushing the passer.
Because in that role – that linebacker spot, that's his job, right? He's not going to be a superstar getting all these sacks and that from
no,
that
he does
position.
His, no,
right?
not no. the auto position.
That's not his role.
No, but on third down, I think you can rush him at that left end position. I think he could spot you at Leo some. But he does a good job on first and second down at auto.
Speaking of pass rushers, earlier this week I saw, I think it was on Twitter, I saw that the Buffalo Bills are retiring Bruce Smith's number.
Yeah, I saw that.
Like, how is it not retired already?
I don't know. I don't really care. Was it you that I don't like retweeting those type of things or making comments because it looks like very self-serving. You can say what you said.
I got to go find it, though, because somebody
LA,
was
Sam Farmer from the LA Times.
Let me go find this again. So
put out there that the Bills are that Bruce Smith caused a lot of offensive tackles to be nervous or shaken or lose confidence in their boots.
Love to go through that. But I thought that was interesting. He hasn't been – he's in the Hall of Fame, of course, but he hasn't even been retired in Buffalo yet. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I don't know their policies or procedures or what the relationship with him up there is. I mean, who knows? Heck of a player.
Did you skunk him every time? I know for certain in the wild card game you
yeah,
did.
Yeah, I think he might have. I think we played five times against each other. I think he might have got one sack.
One sack and five tries.
I think so. He didn't have very good days.
And wasn't he like kind of chirping after the first one, after the wild card game? Or the next year leading up to the next game?
Oh, yeah.
He shifted over. He didn't.
He tried to say that chipped. we chipped and slid to him, which we didn't because we didn't even have that in the game plan, really.
Mm.
So, yeah, who cares? I don't care. I mean, whatever. We won the game, so.
Yeah, here's what Sam Farmer, the LA Times reporter, said. Bruce Smith says he is humbled beyond words, sort of like the tackles who lined up across from him.
And JP fired right back.
I fired back, except Tony Boselli, who fears no one.
Yeah.
That's accurate, right?
Yeah. So it was a – listen, Bruce is a heck of a player. And one of the best pass rushers ever to play the game.
Yeah.
And it was a good day there when we played him in the wild card, though. It was a good day to be a Jaguar that day. It was a lot of fun. I'm not going to lie. I was nervous going into it, though. But it worked out well.
Did you ever go back and watch that game? Or no?
I think just after the film.
Yeah, that's
but
it.
No, I don't think I've ever gone back and watched any of my games.
I want to say they had like an ISO on you, like the whole game.
Yeah, they did.
You guys.
I heard about that. Yeah.
Is there a part in the game though when you're up against somebody like that, you say to yourself, you know what, I got this guy.
You know what? It was funny. So I remember going out there and I've told this story before, but you watch tape all week, and I watch a lot of tape because it's the first playoff game and second-year franchise. And I realized that my assignment is Bruce Smith, who was the defensive player of the year that year.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched tape, and no one blocked him. I mean, he was, like, wrecking havoc on everybody. So I was like, oh, man, this is going to be national television, playoff game, a lot of pressure. And so I remember Mike Mazur, offensive line coach, end of the week came up and said, how are you doing? What do you think? And I said, you know what? I said, I have no idea how I'm going to block this guy, but I'm going to figure it out. And I was nervous for the game going out and walking out, and the Buffalo fans were yelling and screaming that Bruce Smith was going to make me his female dog. just wearing me out. I mean, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, I sure the heck hope not. My goodness. And so, you know, we go through. We get the ball first, and we run on first down, get stuffed. Run on second down, get stuffed. So it's third and 10, and we're on our, like, 11-yard line, 12-yard line. And we call a spread formation and a protection where there's no back to my side. We're not sliding. And so I'm jogging up to the line of scrimmage and realizing, all right, we're going to find out right here.
Here we go.
Because I'm one-on-one with no help against the defense player of the year that I've not seen anyone block one-on-one yet. And so I can feel it. And jog up the ball, and it is so loud, and you cannot hear yourself think. And so I'm looking at the ball, waiting for Dave Wydell to snap it. And he snaps it, and I said, you know what? I'm going to go do my technique. And I kick set, and he came on a speed rush and tried to power, and I stoned him. And the ball was incomplete, and I didn't care. I didn't care that we didn't convert to third down. I didn't care about anything. And in my mind, I said, I'm going to block this guy all day. And I jogged out the field, and I said, I got him. And for the rest of the game, I said, let's go. I just played. At that point, to me, it was like nobody else. It was like another guy out there, go play the game. But that was a big play for me because if it had gone the other way, who knows what happens.
Interesting. But, he was in the news this week. So.
But, yeah, it's amazing.
To bring it up.
When you're one-on-one as a tackle and a lot of positions in football, it's a lot of it is about confidence. And if you're confident in your ability and your technique and the plan that you have, you're going to have success. And that play gave me a lot of confidence that, listen, if I do my technique, then I'm going to be fine. Now, it was a fight the whole day. I mean, he was a great player, and it was every play I was holding, you know, fighting my life.
You were holding him?
Well, I held every play. But, I mean, I was holding on, you know, not holding on like I was struggling, but I was like, I have to be my best.
Yeah, you can't let
He was one of the guys that I played that, listen, I have to line up And there's other guys I played that I could get away with things and, you know, maybe not have my best set or do this. But I my mindset was I'm lining up. I have to have my best set. I have to have my best technique every play. And if I do that, I'm going to be fine. And it worked out.
SunPass is a proud partner of the Jags. Use it to reach your goal, whether that's the Gulf Coast, the Atlantic Coast, the Florida Keys, or even Georgia and North Carolina. SunPass, catch one today. We'll come back and talk defensive backs. 11 corners on the roster right now. How do they break those guys down? We'll talk safeties as well. Might even open up the phone lines tonight. Why not? 355-NFL1, 355-6351 to get in on Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, driven with SunPass, continues right now.
This portion of Jaguars Thursday is brought to you by your Southern Ford dealers. Hey, don't miss the chance, Tony. You can take home a piece of Jaguars history for only $250. You can own a pair of authentic U.S. Assured Club Stadium seats right from Everbank Field. Limited seats still available. Visit jaguars.com/souvenir seats and get yours today. JP Shadrick, Tony Baselli. I know you're getting stadium seats, Tony, right?
No. No.
You said no to that.
Oh,
we're watching the players on the
just
golf
to update
channel.
Everyone.
Rory.
Rory just went from it on the par 5 16th hole from I don't know how far it was, but he just blistered like a 2-iron, hits the rough in the front, hits the green, and then rolls all the way over into the water. Mm. That right there, that stings.
That hurts.
That one hurts your feelings.
Yeah, it does.
If you're a golfer listening and you hit a good shot and that happens, that hurts your feelings.
When was the last time you played, Tony?
I actually played 9 holes this morning.
Oh, today.
Early, but I left after 9 because it was too slow. I don't like playing slow golf. And so we played really fast the first 9, but then it was backed up on 10. And I said, we are out of here. I like playing golf in 3 hours or under.
What did you shoot on the front 9 today?
Not very well today.
What's the number?
I'm going to say it was like a 46, which
ooh,
is
that's
really
almost my score
bad for
in
me.
The front.
Yeah, because I'm about a 9 handicap, so anything above 40, 41 really hurts. It was bad.
Ooh.
I almost I don't believe in throwing clubs, but oh, one almost. And I don't. I don't throw clubs. It's dangerous, stupid. It's embarrassing. I have a friend. All he does is throw clubs.
So why? I don't get it. Like, they're expensive. Why do you throw a club?
He thinks he's good, and so he throws clubs when he hits a bad shot. I love it, which I laugh, but I don't. But I wanted to. I wanted to break one. I wanted to be like that guy last week who hit himself with the putter in the head and bent the putter. But I didn't. It was a bad day, though, so.
I mean,
it was probably good that it was so backed up, and I just said, I'm out of here.
Yeah, we'll see you. Because it was all going to go downhill from
there. Yeah, and the guys that I were with, we all played fast, and we looked, and we're like, time to go.
Cornerbacks, safeties. Earlier this week on Jaguars.com Live, I had Dwayne Walker, Jaguars defensive backs coach. A lot of new faces in that room, and try to get an idea of the feel of that room. There are now, let's see, there are 12 corners on the team. There were 13 before Chance Casey was released yesterday. So 12 now corners. Amukamara, House are both entering their 6th season. Gratz McCray, their 4th. Colvin, his 3rd. He's going to be back week 6.
Week Marshall, 6? Oh, because the bye is week.
Bye,
yeah.
Week 5, yeah. And Nick Marshall in his 2nd season. Rashad Reynolds, Peyton Thompson, Josh Johnson, Brian Boddy Calhoun is a rookie. Mike Hilton is a rookie. And, of course, Jalen Ramsey is a rookie.
Well, the guys
corners to filter down.
Well, House is going to be on the roster. Jalen Ramsey is going to be on the roster.
That's 2.
Colvin's on the roster.
That's 3.
I'd be shocked if Prince isn't on the roster.
That's 4.
You know who I think is a pretty good player is Peyton Thompson. I think he's a good nickel.
Nickel and special teams guy.
Yeah, I like Peyton Thompson a lot.
That's 5.
Well, I'm not saying he's making the team.
That's 4.
I think Nick Marshall has a really good chance because of his special teams ability.
Okay.
It'll be interesting with Gratz and McCray. They're going to be fighting for a roster spot.
those guys for one spot, or both of those guys could be out?
I think one of them might be here. I think one of them be here. But listen, they could both be gone, and they go both be here. I just think they're both fighting for roster spots. I think it's a very competitive room. Mm-hmm. They've upgraded talent-wise there quite a bit. You know the first overall pick of this year's for the Jaguars, fifth overall in the draft, is going to be on the roster. And House is a guy that, you know, Makamura is a guy who has a lot of experience. And you know Colvin, that he's the best nickel on the team. So it'll be interesting. Now, one of those guys is going to make it for 4 weeks until Colvin comes back. Somebody, mm-hmm. you know, whether it's Nick Marshall or Grotz or McRae or Peyton Thompson or one of those other guys you mentioned. But it's going to be tough. And I think you look at Grotz and McRae, who were Dave and Gus's first draft, and they kind of were, I don't want to say given spots, but there wasn't a lot of competition.
I mean, McRae's a seventh-round pick, for goodness sakes.
And he's done a good job. I thought 2 years ago he was better than last year. I think there are some limits in what he can do. I think he's better against the bigger, longer receivers. I think quick guys give him trouble mm-hmm. with his change of direction. But he has a chance. He has a chance to make this ball club. And Grotz is going to be competing. Last year we saw him have to compete for a starting job, and he won. He didn't start a lot of games. And it was in and out of the lineup as a starter. I think this year, I don't see him. Not that he can't win a job as a starter, but right now I don't think he's not a front runner for one of those starting positions. So now you're fighting for a backup, meaning you better be good on special teams as well.
So how many are you going to keep? Corners on the roster. Let's go. Let's do the whole thing right now. I'm kidding.
I don't know. Three starters,
right? I mean, because if you count the nickels,
you're probably keeping six.
Two at each.
Okay. Is my guess.
Yeah, and a lot of those guys will be doing special teams.
Right.
Stuff. Yeah. How about safety now? Tashawn Gibson is the
he's the starting free
addition there. Cyprian's entering his fourth year, big year for Cip.
Well, I think him and Sample are going to compete for the starting job at the strong safety.
Can Sample beat him?
Yeah. Absolutely. I think it's an open competition. You know, I give the edge to Sip right now, and I think if they can play it in a situation where Sip is near the line of scrimmage, that kind of Cam Chancellor role, I think that's his best. I think that's what he's best suited for. He's not a center fielder at all. And we saw him have some really, really nice games last year when he played the majority of the time near the line of scrimmage in the box. And I think he can play that Cam Chancellor's role well. Tashawn Gibson is a very good player, and I think he's having a really big year playing center field. And he's a ball hawk. He finds the ball. And so that's obviously a big upgrade back there.
Got to have it because the turnover.
And then you got a guy like Josh Evans as well, who's a really good special teams player.
Yeah. And a lot of starting experience,
And I'd like to see him down at that box safety as well. He's a tough, hard-nosed kid. And I think he's going to throw his hat in the ring and say, listen, I'm going to compete for that strong safety job as well.
Craig Loston's still around, third year, a guy who's had a lot of kind of on and off the roster at times, but has been around for the most part. Earl Wolfe, his third year, and Jared Wilson is a rookie to round out the safety group. So you're looking at Gibson and then a toss-up for you, Tony, Cyprian and Sample at strong.
Yeah.
Now, with Gibson back there, the idea is that Cyprian should have a better – chance once it's narrowed down a little bit for him, closer to the line.
I agree. Right? Yeah, that's what I just said. I mean, I think him playing that box safety is what he is. Thing. He's not a center field safety. He is not great, a great ball hawk. He's not great with the ball in the air. He is not great at reacting and covering a lot of ground back there.
Gus said, somebody said, might have been Dave, that finding a free safety is almost as difficult as finding a quarterback. Do you agree with that?
No.
And are there – it's still difficult to find that position. May not be that difficult.
Listen, I think it's tough to find. Yeah, well, because in colleges, there's not a lot of true free safeties playing back there. So you have to evaluate, and I understand what Dave's saying, because you have to evaluate guys who don't play the position you're drafting or you're picking for in the pros. And so evaluating might be tough. But I think there's more guys in this world who can play strong free safety than there are the guys who can play quarterback at a high level.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense.
But I think evaluating, I would agree with Dave there, because it's tough. It's not – I think the scout's job is harder than ever because of the way college football is being played now. Offensive line's tough because of what they're asking them to do. A lot of teams are playing the spread, so it's hard for the quarterback to evaluate because they're doing things that they don't have, that they're going to be asked to do a lot more in the pros than they're ever asked in college, and they're not running pro systems. You know, you look at, you know, one of the things they said about the reason they drafted Cody Kessler out of SC and Hugh Jackson liked him is because he came in from a pro-style offense. More of it. Even SC runs more spread than they've ever run in the past. Yeah. But they're a multi, you know, formation, different looks. So, you know, it's going to be interesting. But I think being a scout's tough because a lot of positions that you're trying to find premium guys at, they're not doing things that you're gonna that they're gonna have to do in the pros.
Who is the top free safety in the game right now?
Oh, it's Earl Thomas. I think it's Earl Thomas. He is a dynamic, great tackler, great with the ball in the air, can cover a lot of ground sideline to sideline. So I'd say Earl Thomas.
Yeah. How far down the list is Deshaun Gibson, you think?
Oh, I'd have to get.
I had to get a list of, you know.
I didn't do my homework on free safeties coming into the show.
You've been
JP.
Busy with the cut,
so I can pull up if you like.
No, it's okay. We can talk.
We can break down the free safeties, Joe, of the league. I think that's compelling radio.
Yeah, we'll go right through it. Yeah,
I love you, JP.
I love you too, Tony.
I love free safety talk.
It's a love fest in May.
Listen, that's what you talk in May. You talk free
safety.
What
safeties. Would you like to talk about?
No, so, I'm good with it. I think, listen, Deshaun Gibson was a position of need. I think it was a great grab. You know, you always wonder, though, in free agency, why did Cleveland let Deshaun Gibson go?
They let a lot of guys go.
I know.
I mean,
you know,
it was
maybe
like a mass exodus.
Maybe it's
year,
just
remember?
Cleveland. But, I mean, watching Deshaun Gibson, especially 2 years ago, he was outstanding. He was beat up last year, had some injuries on and off, didn't play as well. Watching him, you know, run around in the underwear out there at some of the stuff they're doing right now. I mean, the guy is a dynamic athlete, great with the ball in the air. I don't know what, you know. Sometimes guys get away in free agency because of cap and.
Yeah. But how close really
demands
are
demands and everything? I was just shocked that Cleveland let him go.
How close are the Browns really to being competitive?
Well, they haven't been competitive since they came back into the league in 1999.
Right.
So, who knows? I mean. They're redoing the entire thing. I mean, they're starting from scratch. And so, I don't know what, you know, I wish Saucy Brown up there. He's a friend. He's, you know, the guy who's overseeing the whole operations on the football side up there now. But, you know, they got to find a quarterback. They got to find a lot of things up there.
Let me ask you this. Would it be more compelling to talk about offensive line when we come back?
Well, I think it's better. It's a better topic.
I could expect that answer.
It's a more important position.
It's the most important position, according to you. We'll talk a little offensive line when we come back. Republic Services is the undisputed leader in recycling in Northeast Florida, the official waste provider of the Jags. They've been proudly serving the residents and businesses of Northeast Florida for over 30 years. Call Republic Services for all of your waste and recycling solutions, and they will take it from here. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, driven with SunPass, continues right now.
SunPass is a proud partner of the Jags. Use it to reach your goal, whether that's the Gulf Coast, the Atlantic Coast, the Florida Keys, or even Georgia and North Carolina. SunPass, catch one today. This portion of Jaguars Thursday is brought to you by Fanatics.com. JP Shadrick, Tony Buscelli, Jeff Lagerman is off. I think he's out next week, too.
Yeah, he's gone next 2 weeks. Did my – Joe's mad at me, though.
Joe Fortunato, well, manager of radio.
Yeah. I got a bunch of days up there.
Well,
that,
you got like four on the board up there, really?
Yeah.
We track our – by the way, if you have never been in the radio studios here, the HananiaAutos.com studio, there's a big whiteboard, and we kind of track days, vacation days, the summer, the spring, you know. People kind of leave some days. So Jeff has a couple this week, next week. You've got like four in a row. What is going on?
No, it's not four
you?
In a row. It's June 9th, I'll be out. June 30th, I'll be out. And then July 7th, is that it?
Yeah,
or 9th
yeah,
or something
yeah,
like that?
Yeah.
And then July 7th and July
so back
14th.
To back. I mean, what are you,
but
what
I'll
are you,
be I'll be available by phone those last two.
What, I mean, what are you what
Well, I'm going to be
you know how many I have up there? Zero.
Yeah, no one likes you. I'm going to be on a golf trip the 9th.
Oh, well, that's important.
Very important. I'll be on vacation with my wife for my anniversary on the 30th.
That's important, too.
The 7th, I'll be in California with my dad. I don't know where I am the 14th.
You don't even know. You just took it off. That's okay. Hey. We'll somehow we'll
oh,
get
I'm,
by.
You know where I'm in 14th? I'm in London at the Jaguar football camp.
Oh, you're part of that.
Yeah.
Huh? That's coming up. It's like a coach's clinic.
Yeah,
right?
I'll be out coaching.
Very nice.
So,
Coach,
it's not really vacation. That's a work trip. I'm on the clock.
Yeah.
I'm working.
Now, the way I understand it from talking to some folks who were in from London a few weeks ago, like that camp, there's a Jaguars coaching camp, for those who aren't aware. It's coaches from over there come to learn how to coach better, right?
I'll be coaching them up.
That's what you do, coach. So it's like out of town, though, a little bit. It's like an
hour
away.
Yeah, it's
out
in the country,
yeah.
I think.
So it's not like you're going into town every day.
No, I don't think we're – I don't even know if we're spending any time in London proper, like the city.
So it's definitely a work trip.
Yeah, it'll be working. I'll be grinding away, getting, you know, getting the grease board out, drawing up plays, teaching some technique.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to that. I love – I don't know how you guys feel about it. I love London. I love going to London. I love the London trip. I love every aspect of it. And because I think it's a great place. I think it's been great for the franchise. I think it's great for the team. I think Wembley's a fun place to call a game. I mean, I wish we were in a press box. It's kind of out in the open a little bit. But just watching the game there, the atmosphere, it's a lot of fun. I love the city. The people are great. And one of the cool things that – and I've done it a number of times now. Every time I go over there – and especially when I get to work with some of the local coaches who are trying, or who are learning and teaching other young men how to play the American football,
mm-hmm.
I love being around those guys because it's one of the reasons I love coaching high school football most days. Some days I want to kill those kids, because it's really at its purest form. And these are people that they love the game for no other reason besides the game. It's not a business. There's not scholarships. There's not trying to get to the pros. There's not agents. They just love the game. And be able to go teach that, and they're like sponges over there. And to teach technique and proper technique and how to do things, I think it's a ton of fun.
What is the first lesson in Coach Pacelli's class?
The first thing you have to do to be an effective offensive lineman is getting a good stance. I always start with the stance.
Okay.
You got to get in a good bounce stance, proper stagger, depending on your guard or tackle or center. And so that's the starting point. 3-point stance and 2-point stance, and then from there work on first step, second step in the run game, and kick step, slide step, power step in the pass game. But and then hand placement, aiming points, and that's where
all
you start.
That, yeah,
it's I look forward to it.
You know who else is going? Some other coaches?
I don't. And,
I'm not sure.
I probably should know that, but I don't. I know there's some other Jaguar coaches going.
Okay.
I'd like to be referred to when I'm over there as head coach, though.
Oh, would you?
Yeah, I'd like to.
You are the only one on the wall.
I'd like to be called head coach.
Not prior to the Jaguars.
No,
member.
I'd like to be head coach. Head coach.
You know.
Because Gus isn't going to be
there. Hall of Fame semifinalist.
No. A head coach.
Cotton Bowl Hall of Famer.
Nope. No USC Hall of Fame. No college football Hall of Fame. What we call head coach.
Head coach Tony Vassell.
Yeah. Gus isn't going to be there. I mean, I'm sure he won't mind.
Not interim.
No, just head.
You're the head.
I'm the head.
Okay. They might not know the difference. Anyway.
Gus can take the week off. Go on vacation, Gus. I'll be the head coach
okay.
that week.
Head coach Tony Vassell. That's a nice segue, though, to the Jaguars' offensive line. You know, Gus said at the end of rookie.
Can I say something real quick before we get there?
Go ahead.
Why is?
Can't wait.
I know
what you're going to say.
Well, I'm watching this golf.
Pay attention. You got to focus.
Why do Ricky Fowler and Rory McIlroy have those like sweatpants with elastic at the bottom on the golf course?
I've never seen
that. I don't like that look.
No.
All right, no. So I just
bothered. What do you wear? You play? You wear
shorts and a golf shirt.
There you go.
If it's cold, I wear pants.
That's great.
And long sleeve.
Offensive.
If it's raining, I wear rain gear.
That's fantastic. If it's raining, I don't play.
I always wear a hat. Yeah. Always a hat. Sunscreen.
You got to protect the face.
Yeah, have sunscreen.
The moneymaker.
No sunglasses when I play, though.
Really?
No.
How do you see? If it's sunny.
I have my hat cover my eyes.
Oh, okay. We're getting a little too deep into this. Offensive line talk. Gus Bradley, at the end of rookie orientation, pretty much confirmed that Linder is getting most of the work at center, which was not really a big surprise. That's been the idea. You know, they feel left tackle and center are the two most important positions on the line, so why not put a guy they feel is a very good guard over at center It's not – he has a little time there. He played a little bit in college.
Yeah, he started like three games.
Yeah, and then a preseason game or two, I think he had some time here in the past at center. So it's not like he's coming in totally blind on this. And he's a smart enough guy that he'll be able to handle the mental part of it, you'd think. Linder.
Well, he's a very good athlete. He's powerful. I think he's going to be a very good center. I think when they drafted him, there was thought that he could be a center right away. He has a lot of flexibility, and he's very good. You know, Jeff brings up the point, and I think I do agree with him. The only question is you know, is this, what does it mean when you move your best offensive lineman, your best guard, to center? Because there's some thought is you never move your best player from the position he's at.
Right.
Because then what you do, you weaken two spots.
Yeah.
Now, if their thought process is, well, we got A.J. Cann, we got McKenzie
Bernardo, yep.
Bernardo, who can play guard, and they feel like Linder will be just as good a center as he is as a guard. And we're going to make that a position of strength because that's a key position of what we want to do and how we want to run offense and how we want to run the ball inside. And so we're going to put our best offensive lineman, who's our best guard right now, but we think he'll be our best offensive lineman as the center as well.
Would you rather have a really great guard or just a great center? You know what I mean? Like, we're kind of splitting hairs here.
So here's the difference.
You know what I mean?
Joe, can you help me with this a little bit? I just asked, would I rather have a really great guard or a great center?
Yeah, I said that. You want to play?
So we're really back? we're just going from really. Yeah. Like, do I want
like a step down, but still effective?
So how about just a great guard or a good center? Is that what you're saying?
Right. That's what I meant.
That'd be more like succinct.
But I wanted to be closer than that because I think he'll be better than just a good center.
I think the center is a critical position from a mental standpoint, physical standpoint, directing traffic, what they want to do in today's football where you get a lot of 3-4 and you have that big, powerful nose over the top. Your center has to be good the way defenses are playing right now. And so if they feel like Linder is going to be their best center and the best in that, and they are confident he can do that, then I'm okay. I'm good with the move.
We got your thoughts on left tackle last week.
Yeah, I think it's a battle. All you can go by right now is if you looked at the first five games, Kelvin Beachum played left tackle, and the first five games Luke Jokel played tackle of last year, Kelvin Beachum was better. That doesn't mean he's going to be better after the knee. It doesn't mean that Luke Jokel hasn't gotten better and can leapfrog him. But that's all you can go by right now. Now, the coaches are going to have that in the back of their mind, but they're going to let this thing play out on the field. Jeff's right. Beachum's going to be limited early in camp because he's coming off a knee. But the knee was done early in the first half of the season, so he should be fine. But you still want to make sure you're careful and smart as far as his pitch count, using a baseball term, early in camp. And so we'll see how much of it is really decided on the field and if they let this thing go out through the first three preseason games before they make a decision.
And then I think last week we talked about, hey, does the loser go to left guard? Bernard?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Because
there'll be a lot of water under the bridge when that decision's made.
That's right.
And I think a lot of it depends on how Bernardo plays a guard. If it's a disaster, then yes. But if Bernardo's playing well, why would you upset the apple cart of the interior three? If Bernardo, Linder, and A.J. Cann are on the same page, you're playing well, they're working well together, I don't think it's smart to change it at that point.
Yeah.
You don't change just because for the sake of change, and just because a guy loses, you know, if Kelvin Beachum loses the left tackle job, you don't just say, "Oh, well, you know, you're a good left tackle, you're going to be a great guard," if you got one who's playing well already. And the same if Beachum wins it and Jokel's sitting there. Now at least Beachum's played some guard in the past, and now you're going to ask Luke Jokel, who's never played guard, in a week get ready or 2 weeks to get ready to play left guard in the NFL? I just don't see that happening. Now, if the decision's made early, if they know after the first 2 weeks it's one of those guys' job, then maybe you can work him in at left guard and create a competition there.
Get the latest transportation news and information on the award-winning Making Moves TV show. Watch every week on the first Tuesday of the month at 12:30 on Channel 4 and every Thursday after Nightline on ABC 25. We'll look around the National Football League after this. It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, driven with SunPass, continues right now.
Check out the Hananiah Automotive Group. They've got 10 brands, hundreds of vehicles to choose from, and thousands in savings. If you're ready for more, you know Jalen Ramsey and Miles Jack are. The NFL's number one draft class takes the field this fall. Season tickets are on sale now. Visit Jaguars.com or call 633-2000.
So is that your proclamation that it was the number one draft class in the NFL this year, or is that like Mel Kiper, McShay?
I think that's a lot of analysts' word combined into this copy that I just read. I don't write them.
I'm just asking. I mean, has that come out? I mean, I don't
pretty much a lot of A's.
I don't read those.
You know, people after grade the draft.
I don't read those draft grades. Well, it's stupid.
Pretty much straight A's across the board.
All right, good. Yeah, number one, baby.
We're number one. So you got to carry that winning over into the regular year, though. That's the next trick. So get those season tickets now. Let's look around.
You don't want to be the winner in the offseason.
No. National football.
Unless you can win during the season.
That's where it counts, Tony.
That's what I've been told, JP.
That's the rumor, at least. We start off with a guy who's not even in the league yet. Leonard Fournette, LSU running back.
Yeah.
He's going to be a front runner for the Heisman this year. His parents have purchased two insurance policies valued at $10 million each. One protects him against total disability. The other is a loss of value policy. He'll be a junior this year for the Tigers and was well on his way to the Heisman last year until Alabama shut him down.
Do they say how much those cost?
Don't know. I did not see that. But it's interesting, right? More and more, you hear more and more about these insurance policies. Didn't Miles Jack have one?
Yeah, but the way the as far as loss of value because of an injury. So Miles Jack went down because of the injury. And depending how far you fall in the round, you get a portion of it. So I think Miles Jack got $900,000 because he went out of the first. If he'd have gone out of the second, he would have got more and so on and so forth.
Yeah. And I'm sure it's a monthly kind of a payment or you pay up front.
No, I think they pay. Yeah, they probably pay a monthly premium and then or maybe an annual premium.
Just like any other insurance
just any
policy.
Insurance and then they get the money if – hopefully – listen, that's one you don't want to collect.
True.
But it's tax-free.
Is it?
Yeah.
How does that work?
And which would be interesting, so
– would you make more off that?
I was going to say, so Leonard Fournette as a running back, let's say he's a mid-round pick, his rookie contract would be, I don't know, let's say 10, 11, 12 million bucks. After taxes, you're getting six of that.
Mm-hmm.
If he were to get hurt and not be able to get drafted at all and got $10 million, be like making $20 million.
Yeah, because not all running backs are going to go. I mean, he's a good running back, yeah.
Yeah, but
yeah, that Derek second Henry contract's went, tough.
Tough on the second contract, and it's interesting.
It really is.
You don't want to wish anything bad on him because ultimately he wants to play in the NFL. It's his dream.
Simple math,
but,
though.
You know. Now, if you get that second contract, that's where you get paid.
Yeah, but running backs still aren't getting paid
what
they
used
to.
Top running backs get paid.
Yeah, I can see that.
I mean, DeMarco Murray got a nice deal last year.
What, nine was it?
I think guaranteed or something. And then, AP got good money.
He's AP. I mean, that's
okay, what I'm saying, but what if he's AP?
What's Gurley going to get his second contract?
Well, if he keeps on playing the way he did, he's going to get a lot.
Yeah, that'd be interesting if –
It's just a math exercise more than anything.
I hate math. I was told there would be no math. Ravens left tackle Eugene Monroe, former Jaguar, has donated $80,000 to a group researching medical marijuana at Johns Hopkins and the University of Pennsylvania. The study is looking into possible cannabinoid therapies for current and NFL players.
Smoke them if you got them.
Eugene is, if you follow him on Twitter,
he is big on that. I follow him on Twitter. He is big on the sweet stinky for medicine.
I mean, a huge supporter.
And I'm not saying I don't even know what his moral stance is on it. And I mean, my whole thing with the medical marijuana is if there is real medical purposes for it and it can help people who are sick, and I know, people are listening might say, well, it's a slippery slope. Look what happened in Colorado. Now it's legal. I understand that. And I'm not saying I'm for legalizing recreational use of marijuana, which, but by the way, I think it's probably coming sooner or later in this country. But I'm not advocating for that in any way. But for medical marijuana, I mean, listen, they gave me OxyContin when I got my hips replaced. And that is I took that for a few days, and I threw that down the toilet because that stuff is just, you talk about just a strong narcotic, and people get hooked on that all the time, and they give that for pain and everything else. My guess is marijuana has got to be better for you than OxyContin.
So,
it's like, but my point is saying that, but if for like, I know I had a family member had cancer and bad chemo, really strong chemo, and couldn't eat and everything else, and lived in a state where medical marijuana was legal, and that helped him quite a bit. It helped the pain. It helped with his appetite. And I remember sitting there thinking, why are we against medical marijuana being legal if there's real medical use? I think we get caught up in this stigma of, and this is, I know no one wants to listen. But my point is that we get caught in a stigma because marijuana is an illegal drug. I get that. Yeah. But so is OxyContin if you buy it for non-medical reasons. And so, listen, if it can help football players with brain injuries or whatever else, then I'm all for it.
So what did you use after you threw the Oxy out? Would you just tough it out because you're a tough
guy?
No,
I had some Percocets too.
Okay.
They just weren't as strong as the Oxys. I'm telling you what, I took they gave me OxyContin, and I had one night I took it, and it was not good. I was like hallucinators. I'm like, my goodness, what is this stuff? And I got rid of it. And it was funny thing, the first hip I took it, and I took it like for like 6 or 7 days or however long I was prescribed. I think I was prescribed for 9 or 10 maybe, but after like 5 or 6, I didn't like how it made me feel. I wasn't no reaction to it, but I just felt so sluggish, and I'm like, I don't need it anymore. And so I cut cold turkey, and the next day I was sick. And the nurse came, and I'm like, I don't feel good. And I'm like, and they worry about infection with your hip and everything. And so she started walking through, like, what I've been doing, and she says, all right, how are your pain meds? Well, I said I'd stop taking OxyContin or oxycodone, whatever it was. And she said, like, just cold turkey? I go, yeah. She goes, you have to wean yourself off that because it's a strong drug.
Wow, you're having withdrawals.
I was having withdrawals.
Pretty much.
I mean, it's terrible.
And you were only a few days in.
Like 5 or 6 days.
Mm.
Or maybe it was like 2 weeks and it was just, I don't remember anything because it was so. So, yeah, that's a long way of saying, you know, good for Eugene. He's passionate about it. I, for one, have no moral obligation, problem or argument against medical marijuana if there's real medical use that can help individuals.
This is the team, though, that didn't draft the tackle who was using a gas mask for a...
Okay, but JP, that's idiotic what you just said.
No, I'm just saying.
I mean, you're
I'm just
an idiot.
What it was.
You're a moron for saying that.
I'm just saying.
The guy had a gas mask for smoking the sweet stinky like it was going out of style, hot box in his dorm room, stoned out of his mind, and you're comparing that to medical marijuana. It's two different.
Okay.
That's the problem with people like you. You can't differentiate between two different things. One is a college student with a gas mask getting so stoned and probably eating Taco Bell or McDonald's or whatever fast food is of his choice afterwards. Compared to Eugene Monroe, who's trying to fund a medical research to help people.
That's good.
My goodness,
that's
JP.
Great. Let's finish with another interesting topic. Greg Hardy's agent, Drew Rosenhaus, has sent detailed information of what Hardy has been doing to identify disorders he might have to contribute to his misbehavior. At least 24 psychiatric therapy sessions recently. Also enrolled in classes at the University of Mississippi. Is there any chance he's back in the league, Hardy?
Oh, yeah. I think there's a chance some Super Bowl contender loses their pass rusher and he's sitting out there, and I think there is a chance. You know, a team who thinks they can win and win right away and their fan base will stomach a lot. I wouldn't take him. The guy's had multiple chances, and Last year was a disaster. He was given a second chance by Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys, who's a very lenient, open organization. Mm-hmm. And by all reports, he was an absolute disaster in the locker room. Has shown no remorse from what I've seen. Maybe he's changed. Of the incident where, from the video and the pictures and the reports, clearly was physically violent with his girlfriend. And I don't care how he got off. It was a technicality. Was convicted by, was found guilty by a judge, and he went to a jury of his peers, which is his right. And mysteriously, the woman decided not to testify, and there was some financial, you know, arrangement. So I don't feel sorry for Greg Hardy. Not one bit. I'm glad he's getting help, and that's his agent trying to market him to give him a job.
Hey, well done, Tony. Let's do it again next week.
All right, can't wait, JP.
Yeah, for Tony Vaselli, Joe Fortunato, I'm JP Shadrick. Thank you for listening. We'll talk to you next week. Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.